You are now listening to a Porsche FM podcast.
Porsche FM, it's our business to mind your business. Here's to the car dealership, the mechanic, the baker, the beautician, the hairdresser, the funeral parlor, the doctor and the pharmacy, the electrician, the builder, the plumber, the retailer and the boutique owner. In general, the small to medium business owner. Port FM salutes businesses that help build our community. Why not make it our business to mind your business and make sure that your business continues to grow? To advertise on Port FM, contact the sales manager on 065-271-7758 or simply email us info@portfmradio.com.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Port FM.
Port FM, your Kasi, your Stasi.
It is 7 minutes past six here on Port FM with me, your host, Papla. And a very good evening to you here at Port FM. We inspire to greater heights. I hope your Mother's Day was fine. It is 25 to 7 here on Port FM with me, your host, Papla. In studio tonight, we have Councillor Benjamin Lawrence, the second of the Democratic Alliance. He is the elected councillor in this ward. How are you, Councillor?
I'm well, thanks.
We also have Debbie Williams-Moses, the PR councillor for the Patriotic Alliance. Debbie, how are you?
Very well, thanks for asking. Hashtag current situation.
And then also we have Novina Palay, also a PR councillor from Action SA. Mashaba in the house. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for this opportunity to come and talk about the historical event.
Okay. Thank you for everybody who's listening. When I first read about this tripartite in the record, I was so glad because it constitutes great news for me that we have three councillors in one ward who can stand together and work towards a better community. Now we all know how it works with elections. Okay, firstly I wanted to say I was jealous about the idea that these people came together and did this thing. Why was I jealous? Because I had each of them in studio, one-on-one interview before the elections, and I make it a point to ask each and every one of them, what will you do if you don't win the elections? And each and every candidate say they are going to work with a councillor, which was great in principle. And even the other councillors who are not here today, because we can only manage so many people. And then I thought, when I read this, why didn't I initiate this thing? Because I could have the power to hold them account, to say, listen, you said it on radio. Here is your clip. You said you're going to work with a councillor. Why is all this fighting? And why is this all division within the ward? Now, I don't want now to plant seeds that is not true. Sometimes we as the voters, we run with our candidate. And when our candidate doesn't make it, we become nasty. It's not always the candidates who did it. So I was so in awe that we could have three councillors from prominent parties in South Africa. Although the PA and Action SA is relatively new, we could see how they grow in bounds and leaps and in a short time compared to the DA, who is a very much established party that comes for many, many years in the political landscape in South Africa. So, welcome, guys. So, I want to start by asking you, councillor, who put this idea together that you three should come together and work as one, work with each other for the ward?
One answer. It was all of our idea. So it was once almost a plan. So all of us came together and decided to do this. Before our final meeting, we had been having phone calls among each other. So there were times when Debbie would call me about certain things, and there were times when Novina would call me about certain things. So there was already a natural, you know, how can I say, growth towards this, because we were civil with each other and, you know, especially when we were talking, you know, one-on-one. And then when we decided this day, because when we got into council, so in council, you know, and one of the ladies also, one of the ladies was saying that, yo, this is this is crazy. Because we realized that what's going on there in terms of the, you know, the contestation in council is very high. And I think I speak for us all to say it can be frustrating, you know, having contestation at a time when you actually need to build towards a better, you know, city. And so we looked at the idea that we looked at the fact that where we are right now. And one of the things we said that, you know, it's easy for us. We've proven it over the past 5 years. It's easy to oppose each other. It's very easy. Mm. It's kind of clear. We can go on and we can get it and we can say and we can do that and we can do it for the next 5 years. And then when the 5 years are over and then we are still where we were 5 years ago, we have no legacy, no individual growth, nothing that we can talk about to say that I have grown in this space. I have built this legacy in my, you know, with this position and this almost power that I was given, and instead just having another 5 years of ticking the box, and the possibility of the next 5 years, somebody else winning and going through the same thing, and then the next 5 years, and when we look back, we would have probably had 20 years of just contestation, with no action and nothing happening, because if you look back at our history as a community, I mean, we've had. In the past, we've had, I mean, you remember the Labour Party, we've had ECC, we had the National Party here, we've had, you know, the ANC and the DA then. And what I've noticed is that there was always that opposition, political opposition, constant, consistent opposition. So we had good people, but there was a lot of opposition. And I believe that sometimes the opposition gets in the way of what we really want to achieve, because everybody that I've ever spoken to before us, and I believe that, had this vision of saying, we want to add this value to this community, we want to make it grow in this direction. And I believe, again, it was stifled by the opposition. So when we're focusing on one another's weaknesses and shortfalls, we're forgetting where we can use one another as a weapon. I'm not saying, well, weapon, or as an ally, and build, you know, towards a better community. And for each of us politically as well, if I succeed in my role as a councillor, I grow politically, even in my own organization. And the same for the other two councillors. If they succeed individually, they grow within their organization, because there's no political party that doesn't want somebody who is an asset to be part of the organization. So coming together and speaking about what we want, because that's what we had. We sat down and as if we were three business people saying that this is what I want to see happen. And sorry, am I going too far?
Okay, Councillor, but I just need to add here that opposition is part of politics.
Yes.
That's a natural. Debbie and Ovina, do you want to add to the final straw that break the camel's back that brought you three together? For you, what was it? What was
For
it?
For me, there was division in our community. And I just felt it when the three of us as councillors and taking Estras forward, we need to work together. We need to lose our colours and start working together, because all three of us have inroads in this community. It's where our roots are. And we grew up here, and we went to school here, and this is where our kids are growing up. So I felt, you know, we need to take the initiative and show people that we can be a united Estras. And that was the reason why I felt very strongly about combining the three of us working together, so that we can be an example to the community, and to make it a better community for all of us and for our future generations.
Okay, thank you. Debbie, do you think by appointing you guys as peer counselor make that process easier for the tripartite to exist?
Definitely, especially in the history that all of us have had. Mm. So, like the councillors have said, it just made sense for us to join forces. because we were very, very good at opposing each other. But we also realized that we are also very, very good at what we are doing in our own spaces. So, and it is actually very, very good that all of us serve, myself and Councillor Lawrence II serve on the Economic Development and Spatial Planning portfolio, and then Councillor Novina is on a different portfolio. So we have all of this portfolios, petitions and utilities, and all of this information, a wealth of information here with Councillor Lawrence that we can use to our disposal now in saying, let's not oppose each other if we are having one vision for the community. And we must also just make it clear. We are, yes, residents of Esteres, because I have been attacked in saying, but she's only servicing Ward 43. No, we are servicing all over, because we are here to represent all 107 wards. You understand? So I just want to put it out there. We go where we are needed. The past weekend we went to Mountain View and Proclamation Hill in
at
different
Ward 91.
Wards. Yes. And it was epic to see how, despite political colors, the residents are appreciative of what you come and fix for them, irrespective of the colors. We had a massive hole in Mountain View. I don't know, there was about 20 cars that had damages and things like that. And it was said that it was reported countless times to the ward councillor, but nothing happened. You understand? Mm. So my question was there first supposed to be a fatality or a death that needed to be occurred for that to happen? So when one of our councillors, our candidates for last year, when they took the initiative to say, please come and assist us here in our ward, we went out. You understand? Because we do not want to be couch politicians where we are sitting back and being reactive. No, we want to be proactive in what we are doing. We said we want to use the data that we have to our disposal, because remember, knowledge is only power once if it is applied. So it's no use you have the knowledge but you don't apply it correctly. Then it is a useless exercise. So we as councillors, we need to take hands, not just for this ward, but across board, because we are working with all of the other councillors. You understand what I mean? And if you go to the different communities in the different wards, you get to hear that we are experiencing the same problems. You understand? We're having the same problems with potholes, with streetlights, with water disruptions and things like that. So even though we are in different demographics and geographics, we have the same problem. So we need to have this collective vision moving forward to say, yes, we might be having different t-shirts, different parties that we are representing, but we still need to service the residents of the city of Tshwane.
I thank you. Okay, I'm going to ask the councillor again, but you guys can add on after he replied if you feel that there's something that you want to add or to say. What are the visions and desires that you have? You are the elected councillor. I don't think you need to worry about being PR all over Debbie and Novina, for instance. I think your plate is heavily overloaded to concentrate on this ward. But for you, what is your vision and desires that you want to achieve in this ward for this period until the next election?
As I've mentioned, you know, earlier to yourself, you know, the vision, for me, the perfect vision is economic growth.
Okay.
You understand? There are a lot of challenges that we're having in this community, which is, you know, and if you look at it, it's the effects, it's affected by the economy. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, we've got people that cannot afford, you know, rates and taxes. Why do people are people not unable to do that? Because they cannot afford it, because they're unemployed. Unemployment is there because where there's no work. So where there's no work, it means the economy is not active. And for me, if the local economy grows, it means the employment rate, you know, increases. And for me, that is the vision, or the most important aspect of my role as a councillor, that I believe, you know, that I would like to see I'm progressing. The other thing is, you know, I listened to what Debbie said. So I'm coming back to why, you know, the coming together of the three of us. Because remember, as councillors, and this is one of the things we said, that, you know, we as councillors, our job is to hold the administration accountable. We do oversight over the administration. So the administration is managed on the highest point by the city manager. So he's the accounting officer. And then it goes down to the different group heads and the different divisional heads and the different regional heads, and it goes down and all the different departments. So we are there to hold them to account. Now, Debbie mentioned something about us being in a portfolio. The portfolio, the purpose of us being members of this portfolio is for us to do oversight over these portfolios. Now, let me give you an example, for instance. If economic development, the team that runs, the highest officer in economic development is the group head, economic development, spatial planning. Then you will get divisional heads for the different departments, one of them being economic development, one of them being spatial planning, etc., etc. The market is also one of them. Now, if the department is properly run, is not properly run, it is our responsibility to, like I said, hold oversight to see that. Now, in portfolio committee, you have obviously different political representation in there. Now, when we sit in our portfolio committee, so the department has to come present and say what they have done, what they are doing, what is happening, what's wrong, what's the shortcomings, what's the shortfalls, what are the advantages, what is going on, what the SWOT analysis of the department. And then we need to obviously see to it, has this thing been done correctly? And that is where we come in. So we need to study the reports. When there are reports that come, we need to study reports, each and every one of us. And based on our political mandate, which is, you know, each party's got their beliefs and their policies. For economic development, for instance, we've got an economic justice policy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now we have to see, is that in line with what my political, you know, organization stands for? And if it is not, how do I, as a councillor in this political organization, get that to be pushed within this department? And also, how do I, along with all the other political all the political representatives, get to agree on that? So the more contestation there is in a department, you'll see when the councillors within the portfolio are not in agreement, the department can fall apart, which means there can be a lack of responsibility, lack of accountability. But when there's an agreement, when we agree in how we're going to do oversight, then it is easier for us to see where the holes are, where the problems are within that specific department. And this goes for everything else in the city. Let's go to the region. We're in Region 6. If we're contesting and competing with Region 6, then Region 6 can just decide, you know what, let me see. Okay, I'm gonna. If Novena asks me something, I'll respond to her. But if Debbie asks me something, I'm not. Or if this happens, I'm gonna do this. If this happens, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm saying that is what can happen. But if we agree on speaking in one voice, there's three of us in council. Yes, they represent. They can. They are not limited to one ward. But as Novena mentioned earlier, she is from this ward, so there is a tie to this community. And going to speak in council, that is where we speak for this, for the specific community. And this is where we can deliberate and we can negotiate on things, on certain things that we would like to see, you understand, happening. And the fact that there's between the three of us, there are four portfolios between the three of us. That means four different departments we have oversight over. And we can discuss on things and we can assist one another in terms of bringing even things to council, to portfolio, you understand, through all our other colleagues within the department. And I think that's the important thing for me to get, especially the thing that I want to see, as I said, you know, economic growth and development through the limited resources that the city has and extended to the province and to national government.
Okay, councillor, if you're now supposed to explain to a Standard 5 boy, how are you going to do economic development in the ward?
How am I going to do it?
Yes. Of what's your plans in developing it? You've said a lot of things now, but I mean, just break it down to the nitty gritty of it. I don't know. Let me.
Okay. Look, I myself cannot physically change the economy, but like I said, having access to information and disseminating that information, because government has now brought in policies to assist in that. I mean, right now, you know that the Gauteng township economy policy is there.
Okay, but what if you identified is a economic viable thing that can work in our ward?
Look, we will release, we're going to release an actual statement about, you know, the modus operandi and the direction that we're going to take, in that we are still in the, you know, conversation stages and the planning phases and that. But once that happens, we will also, you know, release a statement. So everything, and this is why I'm saying how this works, anything we want to communicate will reach more people than what it has before. So it's a matter of communicating and public participation. The one thing that's very important, I'm always saying, public participation. If people don't participate, they don't see, they don't receive, they don't benefit. And that's what we're pushing, is through public participation.
Okay. I've never heard you asking to be on the show, but please, when there's any information to be shared, please call me and then we'll set up a meeting. Novina and Debbie, Novina, what's your portfolio? And then you can somehow add on by this
my
vision.
My portfolio is petitions and utility services.
Petitions.
Yes. Petitions like if something is not, if the community is not happy with decisions that are taken by council or by the city of Tshwane. Say, like now, for example, Nantes people got letters to say that they owe this amount, different amounts on the, it's not actually on a rental, it's more on rates and tax.
Okay.
So if they're not happy with it, they can sign a petition and I drive the petition. You know, to say that they're not happy, they must scrap that money that's on the accounts now currently.
Okay.
So then I drive it in petitions.
Okay. Can we just start having meetings in our different wards and sections and say, this, we want you to drive this petition. It doesn't have to be something from council. We can start that process. Is that what you're saying?
No, unfortunately, it has to be in line with the city of Tshwane.
A decision that they made.
Yeah, and the community. Say, for example, now the prepaid boxes.
Yes.
A lot of people are not happy. It was a resolution that was taken in 2013.
By council.
By council. But it's been only implemented since 2021. But there was no public participation to find out how the community feel about this. Because there's a lot of people. Remember, I was part of the first installations, the rollout.
Okay.
So a lot of people were unhappy about it. They didn't want it. So at that point in time, I was not in council. So I couldn't give them, you know, substantial information. So I couldn't tell them that there's petitions. But now I can tell them, those that are getting prepaid boxes, if you're not happy with it, sign a petition and say, I'm not happy. But it was a resolution that was taken in 2013 and only implemented now, which means that the communities were not informed about this. So now they can sign up a petition and say, but they're not happy. Mm. You know, City of Tshwane must come back to them. And then I take that petition and I drive it in my portfolio.
Okay. Debbie, do you want to add about the visions and desires, missions for this ward?
Right. The vision. I think the vision, we all want the basics to work right. I think that is the overall vision. Usually, when we experience this service delivery qualms, then I would usually refer to, but why is it not happening in other areas? So what we need to get right moving forward is to service all of the residents as a collective and not just some, you know. Let us, if we are going to work together, let us work together so that all of our residents can see the difference and can feel the impact within our communities. So the vision here for Poort, yes, we want jobs. Yes, we don't want illegal dumping to take place. Yes, we want our shops to adhere to rules. Yes, there's a lot of things that we can mention offhand. There's a lot of things that was submitted by the residents of Easterus to say we want this to change. Like when we had our submissions meeting, that was one of the first meetings that we actually had as the three councillors, where it actually came out where residents said, yes, we do want more engagements in smaller groups within the community, because Nantes issues is not the same as Woods Park issues. And Woods Park issues is not the same as Mabop issues. So, you know, when we have this public, the public participation, and we have these engagements and we have the talks, that is where we actually get to the solutions. Because most times we think that we need to revert to government, but within the community, we have agents on the ground already working. We have volunteers on the ground already working that can assist us as the councillors to drive the vision that we all want to see in Port.
Great. Let's take a short break.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Port FM.
Port FM. 7 minutes past seven here on Port FM. With me, your host, Papla, and in studio with me is our three councillors. We are so blessed to have them all here. So, Benji, you talk about a POP roadshow.
Yes. Apologies.
Hashtag stay ready.
Novena was supposed to talk about the POP roadshow. But yes, but the Department of Social Development will be hosting a roadshow in Easterus, as from Thursday the 12th until Saturday the 14th.
Oh,
yes.
So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
That's right. So people can come to the Civic Centre to apply for POP, to explain what POP, how the POP, the Indigent Policy, works. When your total household income should either be equal to or less than that of two state pensioners. So the amount that the two pensioners, state pensioners, receive should be your total household income at maximum. That's what qualifies you for POP, basically. So anybody that is in that situation, people that cannot, you know, afford their rates and taxes based on that
and that amount, qualifying amount is?
Pensioners now get about 2,000 rand at the moment. So it's basically two people.
Okay.
Yeah. So the value of two pensioners, basically.
But hasn't it been 4,000 for some time? Isn't it time that the city moved it up?
No, it was 3,800.
3,800, 4,000. Okay.
Look, we need to have, these are the type of things that one needs to talk about, you know, and again, that's where public participation comes in. You know, yes, it's because I've noticed that it's difficult, you know, in terms of what people can afford.
Yes, life
versus
is expensive.
The policy. But the policy was created to help. The only thing is that, you know, these are the discussions that, you know, we should have. And that's where councillors come in, is to say, guys, what is the possibility? When you go to portfolio, that's our job in portfolio, also to say, what is the possibility of this changing or that happening or that happening? And that's where it comes. Because this is how the POP policy basically, you know, was born. Because, you know, people cannot afford, they couldn't afford, and according to the Municipal Finance Management Act, you can't just write off, you know, debt. But then the policy allows for that to happen, and this is where social development came in, and then the finance department, where they meet up with one another, and then from there. But, as I said, this is something that Novena was supposed to talk about.
Okay, so you say they are here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, ne? And then Novena, and then after that,
we are busy arranging for them to be here permanently, because there is a challenge for people going to Mamelodi, you know, where they can also follow up on their applications. Because the challenge is following up on their applications. What happens is they apply now, after 3 months, then they have to reapply if they haven't been serviced. So the problem is, according to information regarding the social workers, they do not have enough social workers to service Region 6. So which means that they service a certain amount of people. then the 3 months have already lapsed. Say, for example, Debbie applied for POP. So by the time they come to Debbie, her papers had to be renewed. She had to resubmit again papers.
My word.
And POP is only for 2 years now.
Is it?
Not like before.
Then you have to renew it.
You have to renew it. So I would suggest people that know that POP might fall away is to reapply 3 months before the POP expires, so that they know, you know, there's a possibility that it will be reinstated much quicker. But that's no guarantee, because like I said, there's not enough social workers to service Region 6. That is the biggest challenge.
So basically, each and every application must go through a social worker.
The social worker must come and come in, see the conditions they are living in. And but people don't understand. Once you apply for POP and you have a back room and there's people living there, you are receiving an income from the back room dwellers. So people don't understand that. And your income must be 3,800 to 4,500. Then you qualify for POP. But if it's more than, if it's just a 1 rand more than 4,500, then you disqualified. You shouldn't have backroom dwellers. Your income must be 4,500. It's equivalent to two SASSA grants, pension grant. And yeah, that is the criteria. Any other money that you receive extra, then it disqualifies you automatically.
Also what I found, if you own two properties, if there are two properties in your name, you automatically are disqualified.
Oh. Yes, it's true what the councillor say. So you shouldn't have two properties on your name.
I think that threshold amount should go to 10,000. So here is two old people, let's say, living in Kersis, husband and wife, retired or pension now, government grant. What will the average water and lights be? If that's their only income?
It's a nightmare.
Can you see?
It's a nightmare. Because sometimes, you know, the challenge that I experience is that, let's just take one pension, for example. The lady is staying on her own. She only has that 1,900 rand income. But the water next lights account comes to 2,500 rand. So what most of them do, they pay that full amount. Then they do not have money for during the month or even to buy groceries. So no matter how much I for the city to see if we cannot do something for the old people, unfortunately, you know, there is nothing. And this is the biggest challenge that we're facing at the moment, because some of them do not qualify for POP.
Yeah, I feel for them, eh? It's really bad.
It's not all doom and gloom, though.
Is it not?
No.
Yeah, come cheer me up, councillor.
If you do get through it, once you have been approved, it helps a lot. Because Novina mentioned one person that earns 1,900. Once you've been approved, it means you don't pay rates. You don't pay for your electricity. Not your electricity, sorry, your cleansing. So you don't pay for your dustbin, you don't pay for your property rates. You get 12 kiloliters of water for free. And you only thing you pay for is electricity, because that cannot be for free.
Do you get discounted rate?
What? No, you get every month you get 100 units.
Okay.
So look what
just these for the POPs.
Is. Remember, they've worked it out. What has happened is this thing has worked out. The average household cannot use more than 12 kiloliters of water. The moment you use more than that, it means there's a wastage or there's an over. So they've worked it out. Even the amount of electricity that a person would need per month. You understand? So it's just a case of us educating people. And we need to say what we're saying more and more and more. Make people understand. That's why I mentioned the thing about owning two properties, because I had somebody that qualified. But I was wondering, why did they, like, you know, and then when I found out, eventually they said, no, councillor, this person's got another property on their name. Because everything else was in place, you understand? And then, you know, but we learn as we go, because the problem was not always there. And then you find one person. It's the same as with for instance, some people think that no, if you have a big house, remember, you can qualify for POP today and not qualify tomorrow. So it doesn't matter the value of your house,
Oh, that doesn't play out.
No, it's how much income you get.
Okay.
That determines the POP. If anybody tells you anything else, they're lying. It's only your total household income that qualifies you or that does not qualify. And as I said, obviously if you have another property, it means you have another income, which could be the city can determine, like what Novena mentioned. If you've got back rooms, we don't know how much you're charging rent. There's no evidence of that. You understand what I'm saying? So it's actually very simple. But obviously, you know, there is a conversation that needs to be had about the limit. There's no guarantee that it would change, but I do think it's a conversation that we as councillors should have within that portfolio. I do think we should have that conversation.
And you know what, councillor, it's so true what you're saying now, because I was now so despondent, and you say it's not it's true what you're saying, because if you look at it, waste removal is about 329 rand. Now, if that falls from your bill in your rates and taxes, let's say it's a lousy 400 rand. So it's already a 700 rand that you don't have to pay. I understand that, yeah, it's still not enough, but it's true what you're saying to an extent. You know, I want it to be 10 grand so that people qualify, but I know we just can't do all those things at once, and it's a process, but everything is so expensive. If you look at food,
cost of living.
Ah, Mensa.
I just want to say one more thing. Our senior members in the community must also realize that instead of looking at just POP, there is a pensioner's rebate on their property rates. From 10% up to 60%, a rebate that they can get every month.
Every year.
If they have to apply.
On top of the POP. But if the POP...
No. That is separate from POP. Yes. But there is help for them. It will not be what they expect or what they want, but there is a little help for them, you know, in the long run. So we need to look at different different ways of assisting them. When I deal with people's water and electricity, I always first see what is going on the account, what is it we can do. Then I see how long is this charges for, how many days, you know, is it 30 days, is it 90 days? And then I also check, you know, what's their usage. Is it estimated? Is it current? In. And that's the first things I look at on our account. And what I discovered is a lot of people don't know how to look to read their municipality accounts.
Yeah, it's true. It's true what you say.
I would like to add. Sorry, Councilor? Apologies to that. Pablo, I want to ask you as well from your side. Novena mentioned the pensioners rebate. I really think that needs to be really well advertised.
Okay.
We need to let everybody know that here at the customer care, you can apply for pensioners rebate here.
Yeah.
So all pensioners, I think we must, we don't say it enough. And for myself as well, I don't say it enough. And I think there's many people that might not know about it. We need people to understand that the pensioners rebate is something that you can apply for here at the Civic Center. And then once they get used to it, then they don't even need us to tell them anymore. And they would know that, you know, on this time I can go, there's a period which you can go, and then you can go and do it. So I think we must structure that. Maybe yourself, every time you speak, let people know that.
the only thing that we as councillors can do is to find out how far they are with the pensioners rebate, to see how far the process is. You know, because these applications need to go to Centurion. So we need to find out, did it reach Centurion? Is it there? Are they working on it? That is what we can do after they have applied here at the Civic Center at Customer Care.
We can apply pressure.
Okay. All right. Debbie, off air, you also mentioned a cleanup campaign. Tell us more about that.
Yes. We actually had a inspection on Thursday with TMPD, we had all different departments with us. All of the group heads were here. We were at the breach area at the port, you know, there where the children are busy crossing.
Yeah.
There where we had the flooding incident there where the bridge is like all torn up. So we actually went and explored the area. You know, there's no such thing of we are sitting somewhere nicely and we are just giving reports. No, we actually took the people on the ground so that they could see what is the challenges here in Poort. You understand? So a lot of people don't know what we are doing off air, behind the scenes. You know, because a lot of times we are battling to fix street lights and potholes and all of this. And then we still have the issue of our residents not knowing the process of reporting. You know, that is like our daily struggle between the three of us. We need to educate our residents to please report on the toll-free number, you know. So by the time it gets to us, we have a reference number. Because the first thing Novina asked me is, Debbie, what's the reference number? Because we have this working arrangement in saying, anything to do with this, we will refer it that side. Anything to do with that, we will escalate ourselves, you know. So that we are not bombarded with a lot of things where we can't focus on the things where we really need to focus on. We know that we have a problem with illegal dumping here in our community. There's an illegal dump everywhere. There's illegal dumping even happening in our graveyard, you know. So we needed to take all of this officials and the heads on this tour. It was so disgruntling to go to our graveyard and to see what's happening there, you know. And the sad part is, it's our own people.
Exactly.
It's not people from somewhere, somewhere coming in here and doing these things. It's our own people dumping. So a part of this campaign that we will be having, we also want to educate our residents in saying, guys, we can't always complain and saying the government is not doing this, City of Tshwane is not doing that. But meanwhile, we are also contributing towards the problem that we are having. So we also need to take responsibility as residents, firstly, of Eersterus, you know, take accountability in saying, let us be the people that will take account in saying, you will not dump there. Because we had a group of guys at Nanta School that were busy clearing up the area there. It was looking pathetic there. But we will also then now be involving them. We want to also involve the different volunteers, the different, we have groups of boys all over Poort that is doing this cleaning up, to say, government, please come and come see. We do have young men, unemployed men, that want to work. So let us look at how we can create opportunities for them. You understand? While we are, we can't always say we don't have manpower. You understand? We don't have budgets to pay salaries, you know, things like that. But there are different ways of moving resources around. You understand? Because a lot of these young men, they need resources. They need tools. They want to work. They want to play a part, a positive role within the community. But sometimes we don't give them the resources. So this, I actually think that Benjamin need to explain it as a whole, because it is a part of a bigger roadshow that is actually rolling out. So we as Eersterus, we need to be so appreciative that they are coming. Finally, people are listening, you know, people are bringing the resources in, people are getting involved. So now it's our time. It's our time now to get involved as residents in saying, we will partake when help is sent in. We will not sit on the sidelines and look at people doing it for us. No, we will get involved in saying, we will clean up this area and we will ensure that we keep it clean. So the next time somebody come and dump there, we will hold you accountable. We will hold you responsible. We will report you where the necessary officials. Do you understand what I mean? And that is where we come in, to say, we will hold you to account, even if it means we go to your house and we go write you up there with TMPD. We will do whatever it needs. Whatever necessary, you know, we will go to that level.
I think it's time that somebody is making an example of this dumping. You know, in my area, the dustbins get collected on a Monday morning.
Yes.
You find people dumping on a Sunday night. What the?
Look, I must say, look, personally, I've had more than 10 people fined, you know.
You had?
Yes. It makes you unpopular, but it's something that we need to do. The thing is, the thing is, it should not be me alone. It should be everybody. One of the things I've made my baby is the site in Roots Avenue. When I became the councillor, I don't know if you remember, there used to be like heaps.
Yes. Mm.
So I said, I'm going to focus on this area and focus on this area and focus on this area. And look where it's, there's no more heaps. There's still dumping, but there's no more heaps, because I had to even get into arguments with people regarding that. But that's what I'm willing to do, because I don't like the fact that people are dumping. It's dirty. Mm. It's not. I don't even want to say the words that I want to say about, you know, what it is. I just wanted to add to what Debbie said about Thursday. So the Tswelopele is a campaign from the mayor's office where they go around and they do cleanups. Now, they've decided to also be part of, to make Istres part of that initiative. Mm. And then there's another campaign which is now combined with it. So the company Aquele that make the water.
Yes.
So they have now also partnered up with the city and, you know, with us to say that they want to partner up with us as a community, with the city, on the same day. So what they've done, they've approached, there's two soccer teams that were approached. The one was Marumo FC, the other one is Orlando Pirates. Now, Pirates cannot be here because they're playing on the day. But Marumo FC is also going to be here. So they're going to be part of the cleanup.
Wow.
The mayor's office, Marumo FC, Aquele being the sponsor for refreshments. And we as a community need to come there in our numbers, because it is our community that we need to clean up. It's not a job. It's a voluntary thing. But obviously, it is step in the right. I think it comes in a right at the right time. Mm. Number one, I always say that, you know, the shift in politics today, as a community, especially us as brown people, if you look at the shift in politics in South Africa right now, the way things are, it's opened a lot of doors for us. It's an opportunity for us to become part of the bigger picture. I mean, look at what's happened now. We've got, as I said, we've got three councillors, we've got three voices from our community. We've got a potential to have 10 voices from our community eventually, but it starts here. And so one of the things we would like to, you know, request is to have people to volunteer with, to be with us on Thursday. That's one part of this campaign, is the cleanup on Thursday. The other part of the campaign, and as Debbie mentioned, we went across Yesterday to look at problem areas. One of the problem areas we looked at was in Helium Avenue, where there were criminals that vandalized our electricity infrastructure, and they dug trenches to steal copper cables.
Yeah. Mm.
The reason for that is the grass was overgrown. People had stolen the paving that was built there. So now that's one of the things we're going to be looking at, cutting the grass there, right, and that's on that area where, which caused the thing. Debbie mentioned the thing about the bridge. So many people in Istres have complained about that the walkthrough bridge that was created, you know, to the footpath that was created to go to Daraport. Now, by law, we're not allowed to, people aren't actually allowed to walk there, but because it was only pedestrians, you know, the city made, you know, they made, you know, they made, how can I say, they accommodated the people. Mm-hmm. We thought the bridge collapsed because it was poor engineering infrastructure, but when we went there, and then we, you know, we had the discussion with, you know, the department. They made us aware that when you look at the heavy floods, you'll see that where the paving was, there was ground underneath. What collapsed was when the flood came, and there's a spot where there's branches and things there, and it caused what they call a whirlpool.
Mm.
And the whirlpool, because of the heavy floods, caused that erosion there. And hence, when the sand went away, eventually the bridge collapsed. One of the things we're focusing on doing is on cleaning up the river there. So getting rid of those tree logs and branches and, you know, things like that's part of this. That's also a part of this campaign. And basically, we've given all up. One of the other problem areas, I don't know if you remember the old dumping site. The old dumping site, the house there, I think it's Mr. Dirk Feldman's house, is right there.
Yeah, in Charlie.
Yes. So Swart, Mr. Feldman's house, he built a wall. Now, when they closed the old refuse dump, they dug trenches, which is for the water to flow through.
Mm.
Now, what happened, what they explained was, you know, because, you know, of people dumping in those trenches, this caused a mudslide. If you go there, the wall is this high, and the mud is about up to there, which is actually dangerous. You know, it's against the wall. You've got all that rubble against his wall. So those are one of the problem things that we showed them. They've mentioned also that the dumping site is with dumping site. It takes about 30 years before anything can be done there.
Mm.
Then they'll drill holes and, you know, check if there's any gases and that type of thing. Obviously, So in 1995. The refuse dump was closed, so the 30 years is around the corner, but those are one of the problem areas that we showed. So these are things that the city is going to be looking at as part of this whole campaign. So some of them is quick, you know, a quick fixes. Some of them is approaches that we have to take. But again, I can't stress more that we need our community to be part of this cleanup on Thursday.
Okay. So how do I get involved? Let's say I stay in Nantes or I stay in the Flats or the Island Spa. Where will the meeting point be? Or where do I make myself available
Please
for this cleaning campaign?
Contact Novena Pele, contact Debbie Williams Moses, contact Benjamin Lawrence if you want to get involved. We have a platform where we populate that kind of information so that we can keep track of the amount of people that want to. But we need people to show numbers because the outsiders are coming in their numbers, and we need our numbers as well to be there.
I also want to just add something, you know. It's time that our community take responsibility for our ward. This is our place. No one else is going to take responsibility if we don't do it ourselves. So it's time that we as Estra stand up, because we all want a beautiful place, a clean place. And it's time that people are educated surrounding dumping.
Yes.
What dumping, what's the cause of dumping long term? What it does to people's health, you know, and... You know, you find the most terrible things that they dump. Especially our graveyard. It is very embarrassing when you have to phone the region and say, please come and clean. Can you please send a team to come and clean the graveyard? And one thing I discovered is that it was said to me, but why do you people vandalize a graveyard? Because a graveyard is holy ground for us. You know, it's where our ancestors are lying. And I felt so embarrassed. And I just said, ach, you know what? I don't know what to say. But that is the thing, you know. It's very, people don't realize how embarrassing it is to say, Sangisa, can you please send a team to come and clean the dumping sites? Aridi, can you send a team to come and clean the graveyard? It is very embarrassing for us, you know, because at the end of the day, they look at us, yeah, your people can't. I'm not saying that's what they are saying, but we never know what they are thinking, you know, and that is not a nice thing.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Poort FM.
Poort FM. On Thursday, I will be at work. I promise you I would have been part of the team, because I'm thinking that too many times we like to sit on the bench and we criticize. The neighborhood watch started in my area, and for the first 2 weeks I was thinking, should I not? But how can you still think about whether you should be part of this? How can you still in this modern time? Because they target the danger boxes. We 1, 2, 3 about in my area that we patrol and see that everything is fine. The guys are so actively involved. I mean, they don't even worry. Every second or third night, we catch someone trying to break in there. When they stole those cables, we're going to be without power for a couple of days, maybe. So we can't just sit back and think that the securities or other people must do it. We need to stand up ourselves. And campaigns like this, the other thing I want to add, I'm from Nantes. I love my Nantes with my whole heart. You don't talk anything about Nantes and I will leave you. But look at the dumping around the school. The school, and it happened just in Bronberg, that side. Again, there's a lot of mess there. And we know the people who dump there. They're not coming from Islands Park. It's building rubble that they throw there. Oh, my word. And I don't like to clean at the same place over and over and over. Why should I?
Become frustrating.
Look, I just want to go back on the point of the night watch, and I want to take my hat off for people like Nolene Degi and Denolio and their team that have dedicated themselves to this, because you know we faced a serious attack a few weeks ago when you must remember something, the substation has been upgraded. If you notice if you look at the difference between 2016, 2018 and now, that the way that our infrastructure was so frail, whenever it was load shedding, poof, dan gaan die krag af, when they switch on, it's not like that anymore. But these criminals that have started stealing cables, that started stealing circuit breakers and stuff, that's a terrorist attack. And it is our responsibility as a community to be part of the solution. Because there's many people that say, where's the police? Where's this? Where's that? Yes, we are there, but where are we as a community? Even the police, we can hold the police to account by getting involved. And it comes back to what I said earlier, public participation.
Yes.
So we are still, there's still not enough people. There's 9,000 houses in Estrus. I can guarantee you there aren't 9,000 people patrolling. There aren't even 500 people patrolling.
Yeah, no. But I think, you know what, I'm not going to be harsh on them. I'm just going to say, please, Mensa,
yes, yes,
involve in your area. And it, you know,
SIPs, get involved.
In my area, when we fall, we can manage it. Mm. You know, one is I'm driving, they are walking, we meet up every now and then, house things here, house things there. It can work. The whole men in that area don't have to do it one time. So we can have a roster.
Can relief.
Say, yes, you know. But it can, if we have started this earlier, a lot of things would have been avoided.
Yes.
Look at the cricket stadium. Look at the soccer stadium. Colvin is asking again, when I'm going to question time, the same question over and over. Why is our soccer stadium so vandalized? Who does it? Our own people. If we had started, and Neighborhood Watch started long time ago, and then it fall flat. But now, and now it's load shedding, because they know they can cut any cable. You know that thick cables along the pole?
Yeah.
They just cut the cables.
And transformers. And
yeah.
You sometimes wonder, like, how did you get up there? But our people, they are resourceful.
I just want to comment on that. You know, they don't realize damaging our infrastructure. It becomes critical because the city only, Region 6, only have a certain amount of budget for fixing of these infrastructures. Every time when they vandalize it, you know, now they're not taking out circuit breakers like before. They take out a complete meter box. I would like to know what they do with a complete meter box. Because on numerous occasions, like in Southfield, I just had the people's lights restored after struggling for 3 days. The next morning, the woman woke up. She's wondering what's happening to the power. She goes out here. All 4 meter boxes are stolen out of the box.
Sure.
And yeah, it becomes a nightmare because Councillor Lawrence, they said, we both on the councillor groups. And I saw the director say, at the end of the day, if it's your place that's vandalized, Papla, they're going to charge you to have it fixed. So, Councillor Lawrence, you know, started arguing that, no, this is unfair, you know. But people have to realize that if we're not vigilant and have our eyes open and more patrollers, we are going to sit with a big, big problem at the end of the day. Because the city does not have the finances to every time fix the same things. Cables, I mean, a cable itself is a lot of money. You know, those thick cables. So it costs the city a lot of money to fix those things. And now I see they went, started going to the transformers.
Yeah.
They're taking things from the transformers. Mm. Those transformers, it's a nightmare just to get it from a depot till here. Because a special truck needs to be hired. Because those transformers are big. Me and Benjamin did, I think, 2 years ago in Kana Street. And how long we waited? 3 days. And eventually the transformer came there in Kana Street. So, you know, it's a lot of challenges that we face with outages. People must learn to put off. When it's load shedding, they must learn to put off their power.
Don't talk.
Leave a light on at least. But put off all the plugs. Because the surge that's coming through there, now people say, no, my TV blew up. If you put it off, you won't have damages and you won't have outages.
Mm.
And that's what people need to learn to do. For us, escalating, we're actually not supposed to escalate. You get a reference number, we only are supposed to escalate after 8 hours. We do a favor to everybody. We escalate immediately.
Yeah. And what I like what Debbie is doing on her groups where she is, she always send that information how to log a call.
Yes.
We need to do it ourselves, people. Ons kan nie die councillors op hom met 'n pothole die hele dag. Report the pothole, report your lights, get the reference number and give it to them, but do your part. Let's do our part.
Can I just mention the street lights? There is a backlog of streetlights. The backlog for fixing of streetlights is huge.
In Tshwane.
It's huge. And, I couldn't believe it. They told me that there's a huge backlog for streetlights. And I just said to the RED, you know what? You people always have tantamount excuses. But when I came back on Wednesday, we had a by-election. I came on 1 o'clock in the morning from Doornpoort. And I couldn't believe it. As I was driving, Tshwane is dark, in total darkness. And it's not even in streets. It's the main streets. Like Stormfall is total darkness. Pretoria Street is total darkness.
Let me just stop you there. I want to ask, Councillor, is it not the surge that also blow the
sometimes, but you see, streetlights works like your electricity grid. So sometimes it could be a switch. You know, sometimes it needs to, something gets to replace. Sometimes it's just a light bulb. And what Naveen said is true. There's a huge backlog. Part of this campaign is also streetlights. Is also part of this 12 Apili campaign that we also, you know, trying to get focused. I know of certain streetlights that are fixed, but what upset me is the fact that there were other streetlights that were not fixed that were reported long ago. Yes, so that's where we come in to say, okay, this has not been done. You know, that needs to be done. But yeah.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Poort FM. Poort FM.
It is 7:45 here on Poort FM with me, your host, and I am featuring the councillors for change in Ward 43 this evening. We're going to the questions now that listeners are sending in. The first and burning question that always get asked, and this time it was from Hami and Sean. They ask about, what about the robots in Estrus? Councillor Benjamin Lawrence.
So the robot is a serious issue. It is one of the things that we've been, you know, pushing for. Look, to be honest with you, everything that we want to happen is not happening in the time that it needs to happen because of budget constraints. The thing though with this is you know, every time that an accident has occurred is what we've been reporting. You know, so it's proof that this is not a priority, but at the moment there's no finality as to, you know, what's happening. But the thing is, it has been reported. There's been a number of, you know, deliberations with the city and with the department responsible. It is sad that now, because of a few vandals, those of us that decided to wake up in the morning and work are suffering. Last night there was an accident there, which I reported to SAPS. Myself, and luckily there were no serious injuries, but it was a serious accident. It was a SUV with a VW, a Golf, a GTI. So one of the drivers did not stop, and it was almost a head-on collision. So that's how serious it's serious for me. It's serious for all of us. Mm. Look, at the moment, I don't have a definite answer as to where we are with that. But it is a fight that we're fighting right now. You understand, with regards to getting it fixed. It cost about 850,000 for that, for a simple robot at that space. That's the
for one set or the
for the set
for
the
both.
Set. No, one set. So that's the kind of damage that these individuals, you know, caused. And we must not run away from that this is damages. So anything that we damage, this is why everything we do, we must be part of the fight against vandalism. Because vandalism is now causing us to fight with each other. It's now causing frustration. It's causing this whole thing that we are at. But yes, it is a very, you know, it's a burning issue for us. Like I said, and once I have once we have the finality and final answer, whether it's good or bad, we will release a statement. So what we've basically committed to do is anything that's important that to the community, we will release a statement. Whether the statement is a good thing, whether it's good news or bad news, because I think that's the most important thing, is to communicate more, mm-hmm. and to let people know this is where we're at with that. And this is the progress or this is the failure. Because we must communicate our failures as much as we communicate our successes as well.
Okay. Veleno Nelson and Colvin Cook wants to know about the graveyard. I think we discussed that.
What do they want to know about the graveyard?
Why is it in that state? I think we discussed that, but I was just asking it. Okay, the next question. Ami wants to know, what is the position on Haysfar Almal?
What is the position?
Will it be formalized? What?
Position sounds like a very formal, sounds like a political a position. But I've mentioned it, and you know what? And even the other day in our meeting, I said, people, I've spoken about this. You know where I stand, but there are people that are affected by this, so there are lives that are affected. And so what we are busy with in the city is to find an amicable solution. Mm-hmm. That's where we are at. You understand? I have my stance, and I'm not afraid for my stance, and I'm not ashamed of where I stand. I'm principled in how I stand, but I, like I said, we need to find an amicable solution because it is affecting people's lives. That's the main thing. So once the city is in process of, you know, we are busy, you know, having a conversation about it. But you must remember, the city is now, there's about 200 informal, you know, settlements and land grabs and whatever that's happening across the city, which is making it very difficult for the city to do planning. So anything that we do affects the planning. Mm. And so for things to happen urgently, it's not going to happen at the time that people want to. And it's not going to happen, you know,
anytime soon.
But something does need to happen. The one thing we all agree is that something needs to happen, and we need to have a conversation about that.
Okay. Sean also want to know, Sanders, what about the illegal electricity? He spoke to me earlier about that, there in that areas where there's factories and that. And what is happening with the empty stands in Port, the empty stands that belongs to the city?
Well, what's happening with the empty stands right now, there is a report that will be coming through the Department of Housing. So remember, there was a moratorium on all open land in the city, where that's why nothing, you know, that nothing has been sold or bought or anything. But now recently as well, we had a policy that came out for developers as well, which was brought out last year. But before that even to happen, this report is about the services of all those stands. So what happens is, even for you, let's say for instance, you know that there's some open stands, you find it's one house. That's one open stand. All of them are falling under one report, where this report is there to discuss the services firstly, what is available there. And then once that is done, obviously it's through the Department of Human Settlements, and then the decision that will be made as to, you know, when something, when it will be available, you know, to the public. But it's, I also encourage people to get involved and try, and you know, if you know, sometimes the city also, if you know, if you have how can I say, plans, you know, people that have plans to come forward to the city, it's a good time to do that as well, and also to find out, you know how you as a developer or a business or an entity, you know, can actually access, you know, these properties. So that is a, you know, proactively.
Peter said, just a comment, I never thought I'll see the day that Port will have three different parties working together like this. This is extremely positive and a big step in the right direction. The robots, we did discuss. Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for listening. And thanks for the comment. Here is good evening to all the councillors in the studio. Firstly, well done for deciding to stand together as one. This is needed. My advice to the three councillors, not to turn a blind eye to anything that happens in Estras. Why I'm saying this is because we are watching you guys with hawk eyes, watching you every move, watching how you respond towards the community's cries. Two things in particular for me are the scrap yards not being raided like all the other communities are doing. The SEBS that is showing continuous incompetence, numerous cases in Estras, but nothing major done about it. No feedback given after so many incidents. We do not feel safe in our community, and once again, we look to no other than you guys. Please help. This is from Varushka Moyet. Councillor, is there anything you want to add in conclusion?
Yes, what I wanted to say is, you know, we have public meetings, but it's only like 20, 30 to 50 people that come out. People, this is our Estras. You know, it's time that everybody take interest in what is happening in Estras. Attend meetings, because if you don't attend meetings, you're never going to know what happens. You're never going to know what we are busy doing in council. You're never going to know what
is transpiring or going to transpire in Estra. So please do attend meetings. Unfortunately, you know, we understand that during the week is very difficult, but we will try and make the meeting, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, just for an hour or two, to give you feedback, to explain to you what the challenges are that we are facing within the city and what the city is, the challenges the city is facing, because obviously if the city faces challenges, we as councillors are facing challenges whereby we cannot assist fully in a ward. So my request is we want to have a feedback session every month, but it will be preferably on a Saturday. Please come and flood us with questions and come and flood us with issues that you have. We want it because that is the only way we can assist the community. And then the last thing, Telkom has got a reward for the vandalism of their structures in city of Tshwane, in Estras. So please be on the lookout, and then you can just, you know, take a pick or whatever you want to do, but let Telkom know there is a reward out.
Benjamin, sorry, man. This is the last question for you. What about drugs and crime? Ask Gizmo. I think it's a valid question. The drugs...
What is the question?
What will those councils do about substance abuse and crime? It's obviously...
Okay. Can I answer that? You know, that is a question that is not... It's not the responsibility of the councillors when it comes to drugs and crime. Everybody in Estras has the same problem with drugs and crime. We all are affected by it directly. So we all don't want it. We don't want to be where we are right now. But again, it comes back to what I said earlier. The only way that crime can be addressed is through community involvement. All of us that have a problem with it must stand together to fix it, firstly. People complain about SAPs. People do complain about SAPs. But what I've noticed was that the active involvement there, the CPF cannot be the same 3, 4, 5 people. Mm. You understand? Mm. CPF, Community Policing Forum, is there to hold SAPs to account. Mm. So if people really want to hold SAPs to account, they need to be there. They need to get involved in the CPF. That's the one thing. Mm. You said about drugs. Look, drugs, to be honest, somebody once says, it's Freddie Arendt who says, purpose kills addiction. Purpose. You know, and I think it's one of the things I should have mentioned is we need to give people a purpose. I can't even make a promise on that, but I do desire, and I'm trying to work on finding purpose. That is why I'm mentioning people like Freddie Aronson again, because what they're doing is fighting addiction. They've got the Tshwane School of Music. That's it. So we need to hold hands with people like that. We still have the EFA, the Football Association. What they're doing is part of fighting this scourge. And then we need to support them. They are struggling to get things, you know, to actually move at the pace they should be, because there's enough people that can afford to support them. Mr. Wilson from Speedo, do you know that I've been involved with Uncle Speedo for over 15 years? He's been doing this for, I don't know, probably 40-something years. Theatre and education, where every year we do for the Afrikaans first language students, we do the prescribed books. One of the prescribed books I've been working on was Christmas Fund Map Jacobs, where we bring the matriculants from Estras and Prosperity Secondary together, and we explain, we try to make them understand the literature from a dramatic perspective. So people like that, I'm just mentioning these few people, if we really want to attack the scourge of drugs and crime, then those people that have the resources need to back these kind of programs. Then, yes, we will be able to take it on, and it comes back to getting involved.
Debbie, your closing.
Hashtag ward committee. I think that is a hot topic. Yeah, we all please need to get involved. Like our councillor said, public participation, community involvement is key. Mm. Because a lot of times it is easy to sit on the sidelines and just commentate. But it is much, much easier to get involved, where you can work with the councillors, give your inputs and drive this. Not just from the couch, but proactively. Mm. So please, communities, wherever you are, wherever you at, please get involved with your ward committees. Please make sure that you get the right people on the team, because remember, this is the people that will assist the councillors to drive the issues on the ground moving forward. So, yeah, less yada yada, more do-do. Thai style.
Thank you. Thank you for the three councillors with a difference. It was a pleasure having you.
The views reflected while presenting this show does not represent the views of Poort FM.
Poort FM, your kasi, your stasi.